Hey, everybody, this is Ricardo Chavira. You are listening to Jeff Garcia on Locked On Spurs.
You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia of News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio, the Spurs Zone. Glad to have you back. It's another day right here on Los, and what are we going to be talking about today? Well, as usual, during the offseason, I keep you up to date on some news and notes regarding your San Antonio Spurs. A couple things have happened since we last spoke. And also, we're going to be joined by Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter, and he's asking kind of a really interesting question. If it behooves the Spurs to go ahead and make pretty much Patty Mills out there, put him out there on the trade block, or maybe work with him and maybe get him out of San Antonio, not in a bad way, but for the future, for this youth movement. We cannot wait to hear what Casey has to say about his idea of trading away pretty much the lone Spurs veteran from their glory days. And also on the show, ESPN, Bobby Marks recently wrote an article regarding the Spurs for free agents. So not specific about them, but just basically agents overall, free agents overall, and what they could command as far as salary. So if the Spurs want to run it back with the same team, what would the money look like for the Spurs for free agents? Let's go ahead and get things going so quickly. Your Spurs news and notes. Trey Lyles, he is adding to his game. Yesterday on the Spurs Zone, one of the writers, Abel Dominguez, pretty much showed some video of Lyles working on that Dirk Nowitzki-esque mid-range fadeaway shot. Hey, if you can implement that, that'd be great. But, you know, did the Spurs really need another mid-range guy on the roster? Go check out the video. You can see it at the Spurs Zone. Also, in case you missed it, the Spurs are bringing back their employees to the AT&T Center. And I know right away the first thing you think of is, well, what about the COVID thing? Well, the Spurs are going to start using the process of slowly bringing their corporate officers, offices, their employees back with a new screening. And the aim is to slow down the spread of COVID-19. It's called Return Safe. Basically, it's a fancy safety protocols to stop the spread of the coronavirus should it get into the AT&T Center or the corporate offices. It's going to include daily screenings, a symptoms diary, Bluetooth contact tracing, and wearable technology with sensors that go off when people are too close to each other. Basically, if you were watching the bubble games and you heard a lot of beeping during media sessions, that's what that was. People were getting too close to it. Hopefully, this is just a sign of things coming back to normal. We do not know when fans or if they will be allowed to be heading back to the AT&T Center or other NBA arenas. But hopefully this is a step in the right direction. You can read all about that at the Spurs Zone and should be somewhere near the top of the page. And also, in case you missed it, George Hill, you know, he's not a Spur. We all know he lives in San Antonio still, but his march towards community outreach and making the world better continues. Now he's in Wisconsin and he's trying to get the vote out and get people to get to the voting polls. But when asked by the Associated Press why he's so set on doing good for the community, he linked it back to his days in San Antonio, saying that it was actually Popovich that had a chat with him. And in that chat, there was one thing that Pops told him that made him take this course of action and improve the lives of people in the world. You can see and read what he had to say at the Spurs Zone and News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. And that's about it. So when we get back, we're going to be joined by Casey Vieira, and gasp, he's putting it out there that the Spurs could possibly trade for the better Patty Mills. We're going to hear what he has to say in a few seconds. But before we do that, Built Bar, it's the best tasting protein bar ever. 6 new flavors, 12 original flavors. That's 18 amazing flavors combined just for you to enjoy, including nut and nut free flavors for those of you who are allergic. And speaking of flavors, orange, coconut, peanut butter brownie, carrot cake, the list goes on and on. A lot of great tasting bars you can enjoy by going to builtbar.com. Those bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew, and great for the health conscious person and those who are on the keto diet. Right now, if you go to BuiltBar.com, you get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. And when you do go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON to get yourself 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. We're back, and now I'm joined by Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter. Casey, before we dive into your article that you recently released at the Spurs Zone. I think the Spurs really need another mid-range game guy. Lyles is adding that to his offense again. I appreciate the effort, Lyles, but maybe another area that he can work on?
No, you're right, man. You're right. I guess it helps to some degree if you're open and the shot's there. That's not exactly where the Spurs are lacking right now at the moment.
I appreciate
many things.
I appreciate the effort.
I guess we talk about them establishing an identity, right? Well, there you go.
Yeah, they're, it's not the defensive end where they need the most help. It's more on the offensive end. But look, I'm not here to bash Lyles.
I was looking at it and I'm like, man,
another mid-range game? I mean, hey, if it helps the Spurs get some Ws, okay, fine. But
hey, if DeMar's gone.
Yeah.
If DeMar, that's your whole mid-range game? Or, well, not your whole.
Right there.
80% of your mid-range game right there.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, just want to get your thoughts on that. Another Spurs guy working on the mid-range game. We could be seeing the final end of the mid-range game, possibly, if DeMar doesn't pick up his player option. Maybe the Spurs trade away LaMarcus Aldridge or just sit and see his final season in San Antonio just come and go. So, Lyles is going to pick up the slack there, Casey.
Yeah, that's the guy, clearly.
There's your guy.
That's what he's aiming for.
All right, let's go and dive into it. So, today, you put out an article out there, and you've been working hard on it for quite some time, so kudos. But the idea is, if the Spurs are going to go in this youth movement, and you're all about it, and, you know, why not slam that foot on the gas pedal and go for it?
No, I've been leading that bandwagon.
Yeah, you really have.
Since last year. I've had my foot firmly on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? That doesn't make sense.
Well, the idea makes sense. How's that?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is that if they're going to go that route, you might as well get them max minutes next season. And one guy who could possibly eat into those minutes is another veteran, well-loved in San Antonio, beloved in the franchise. Is still the lone guy from the Spurs glory days, and that is Patty Mills. Patty Mills, a wily veteran, you know, who played pretty good last season, you know, all things considered. But you're throwing it out there. You're saying, look, Spurs, set feelings aside. If it's simply business and getting this team / franchise back on track, you might want to consider maybe dealing Patty Mills.
Sorry, Jeff. You know what? There was a lot of people outside my office.
That's okay.
That's why I muted it.
I didn't even notice you muted it. All right, here we go. We'll take it up. Did you hear what I said, or you want me to repeat it?
You said something to the effect of just kind of the general idea introduced.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So,
good.
Let me take it up from the last portion of my question.
I could just answer it.
Okay,
there we go. That's the easier edit for you.
Okay, three.
If I just pick it up right here.
Okay, three, two, one. Go.
Yeah, I think right now, and it's kind of a lot of the Spurs fans have finally come to the consensus about this, is that you're trying to maximize any availability to get as many assets as you can going next year and going forward. And the way to do that is you're not going to get full cents on the dollar with everybody that you send out of town. But if you have a chance to do exactly that, to maximize it and the opportunities there, and have something largely not affect your future going forward in those years that you're eyeing for, you might as well do it. And Patty Mills is one of those guys, and the big value with him, more so as opposed to what he can actually do on the floor, is the fact that he's got that that $13 million attached to his name right now that comes off the books going into the summer of Giannis, the big, everything we've heard about this big free agent, 2021 free agent class, whenever it gets here. So you're going to have a lot of teams or a decent number of teams who are trying to get into play with that, or just trying to get into play every cent on the dollar that they can to potentially compete in that free agent market, because there are plenty of names, plenty of big names that can help. That can help. You got Kawhi out there. You have Rudy Gobert out there. Paul George. These are big names that are there to that will be, of course, sought after. So I think with the Spurs, what they're eyeing for right now is if they can find a suitor who is looking for that, who can compete right now in the immediacy, but also better themselves financially to make a run in free agency coming up next summer, they'll evaluate it. They'll evaluate it. And there are teams out there, when you explore it, who probably are having the same conversations. You know, they're saying, listen, we're going to be a playoff team, but in reality, we're probably not a championship team in 2020, 2021. Right. But if we get the right pieces in 21, 22, hey, we can be a title contender for the next 4 to 5 years to come.
Yeah, you look at Mills, and he's been with the team for quite some time now. I think he joined back in the 2011-12 season. He's done it all for San Antonio, whether it be hitting those timely threes. Actually, you know, surprisingly, we talked about this before we recorded, played decent defense, all things considered. There was some crazy stat that he was one of the better defenders in the league within X amount of feet of players, which shocked me. But nevertheless, we know what he brings, and that is three-point shooting. We know what he brings to this team. That is the veteran leadership. We know what he brings to this young team, a role model, Casey, who many players look up to. You mentioned young buck on the spur, Keldon Johnson, you know, Lonnie Walker, DeJounte, who's the one guy on the Spurs that gives you the most help? And 9 out of 10 times is going to be Patty Mills. Casey, I think the Spurs, especially Popovich, see value in that. And that's why I think with such a young team, I don't see Popovich gutting its roster that's already thin on veterans.
Right, right. And that's really, the big pro in keeping him on this roster is that type of stuff from an off-the-court standpoint, that stuff's invaluable, because not a lot of players in this league provide that mentorship, provide that experience, that stuff, how they can, you know, really relate to in situations X, Y, and Z. And a lot of times, if you have that, that might be worth more than a second or third round pick that you're third round pick still in football mode. Geez, a second round pick or something like that, that not necessarily the greatest haul that you're going to get, but again, more the off the court stuff that can provide that. So that's kind of the counter argument to keeping him.
Yeah,
and I think the prime example, though, Jeff, is when you look at it, when you parallel the two, and the Spurs are a little bit of a different position where the Miami Heat are, but you look at what Udonis Haslam provides to that Heat team, and we saw it consistently throughout the postseason. He was an extension of another coach, essentially, out there, largely irrelevant in terms of what you actually saw on the floor, barely played, I don't think he was even active for a game in the postseason, but it's that type of stuff that's invaluable. Now, Patty, of course, a little bit more soft-spoken than Udonis Haslam, and in all likelihood, you wouldn't see that shot that you did see, but that doesn't mean the sentiment can't get across, and Patty does offer a lot of that, and I think that's the big pro in keeping him, and I think Pop probably sees that in ownership management. They certainly see that too.
Yeah, and we saw what he did in the bubble, not necessarily from X's and O's, but what he did off the court as far as being gracious to give up his time to the young guys. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, Casey. He was 100% on board during Zoom conferences out in the bubble. He was talking like a coach.
Right, and he was the one who, I don't want to say leaked, because that has a negative connotation.
Right.
But really kind of gave that first insight as to what the deal was going forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he was the first one that hinted to it, because the Spurs, as we know, so tight-lipped over everything. So coach speak over everything. But Patty going out there and Patty pretty much hinted, saying, listen, man, we're aware of what it is. We're aware we're not very good right now, but we're not worried about right now. We're worried about the future. And that showed right there what he's viewed at in that regard, in the immediacy, like we were saying. Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, he mentioned that to Howard Beck on Beck's podcast, and saying what I took away from that interview with Mills, mm-hmm. he said the writing was on the wall. Now, this was during the season, pre-pandemic already.
So, right, yeah, this was back in May.
Yeah,
right?
Early in the season, where Mills was already letting it out there that they know that a rebuild is coming.
Pandemic. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, sorry, it was coming fast and furious, and it did come in the rebuild. Mm-hmm. We saw, at least leading up to the pandemic / hiatus, where the Spurs, you know, losing X amount of games in a row. The road trip was a disaster. Defense was non-existent at times. Offensively, they were great. They were one of the better offensive teams. Pandemic had a lot to do with that. But my point is that you put all that together, and Mills saw what was going to happen. And sure mm-hmm. enough, it came to fruition. Now, what he did in the bubble, I pat him on the back, and I think that's going to go a long way with the Spurs. And that if there's one thing about the Spurs, Casey, and you know about this, that word loyalty, and they're loyal mm-hmm. to their veterans, right. Sometimes to a fault, Casey. Mm-hmm. And I think,
oh yeah, in recent years, definitely,
AKA Pau Gasol. So, my thing is this: is that I see Patty and being instrumental as far as that. I mean, they call him the heart and soul of the team. It's hard for me to see the Spurs trade away who they consider the heart and soul of this team. Now, does it make sense? Absolutely. Does it help even jumpstart this youth movement / rebuild a step faster? Absolutely. But the downside to this, though, is I see the Spurs will lose a player that is connecting with these young guys. If it's about the young guys, he's connecting mm-hmm. with them. And we saw him with the clipboard in the bubble. It looked like he could be, you know, coaching could be in his future. I don't think he would want to leave knowing that if that is something he's tinkering about, you know, thinking about mulling over, why leave the one team, the Spurs with Popovich, that pretty much it gives these budding young coaches a springboard into bigger and better things.
That's an interesting thought. Do you think Patty, after he retires, do you think he even stays in the States?
Oof. Yeah, I can see him. Yeah, he's very embedded with the San Antonio community, as he is with with his home country. I mean,
couldn't you see him, you know, just going back and just kind of seeing being one of these kind of ambassadors, kind of like what Yao's doing.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yao is essentially an ambassador. He owns a team in China, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah, I think I read something about that.
And but Patty kind of serving that same kind of role. Maybe gets involved, you know, with FIBA
scouting,
you know,
that staff, scouting.
Exactly. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Okay, let's just play this game and say, okay, the Spurs are going to seriously dangle him out there and try to trade him. Then it comes out to which teams does it make sense? Is it simply, hey, Patty, we're not going to do you like this. Give us a list of teams you want. We'll try to make something happen. Or, hey, we'll buy you out and now you can go latch on to whatever mm-hmm. playoff team. I think the Spurs will have to take that approach.
That's what it'll be.
Yeah.
That's definitely what it'll be. They'll say that if it does happen, we'll operate under the assumption it does happen. We'll say, we'll look at it two ways. If it happens in the off season, I think that's when they can get trade value for him. If it happens at the deadline, then you're not going to get trade value back. If anything, he'll be a buyout candidate. So if they're going to explore moving him now, either way, that ball is going to be, no pun intended, that ball is going to be in his court. And they're going to mm-hmm. say, you know the deal. You know what we are right now. You know that you're not, maybe in the first part of the season, but the latter half, you're not going to see the floor. So we'll tell you right now, if you want to be on a team and we can find someone who's a contender trying to free up money and find a match, would you want to go there? Mm-hmm. You know, you give us a list of teams and we can make that work. Would you want to go there? And he signs off. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. it. That's what it is. So, and on the other, when you talk about the deadline, though, it'll kind of be the same thing. If they see some kind of feelers out there, that'll be a little bit different come the deadline, because that'll be a team kind of looking for something a little bit similar to what the Spurs use him for, off the court stuff, and then in spurts use him to space the game on the floor when he is. But it's mainly for that experience off the court stuff if he is bought out at the trade deadline, because that's what it's going to be. And that'll also be another example of it, of the Spurs in all likelihood going to him saying, listen, we're well out of postseason contention. This might be his last season. There's a realistic chance. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is a realistic chance, because there's not much of a market for Patty Mills outside of this, aside from maybe in terms of a big contract, much more than the minimum. So this might be it for him. So if he's coming to that realization that it is, or he gets that idea that it is, he might say, San Antonio, I love you, but you know, I'm doing this one last crack for me. I see Miami needs one more veteran on their bench. Mm-hmm. They're interested. You know, I'm going to South Beach. And I think that's what it'll ultimately come down to, Jeff, is whether it's now, whether it's later, if they are going to move him or whatever it may be, however he does potentially leave San Antonio, mm-hmm. it's going to have to go through it. It'll go through him first. I shouldn't say going to have to, because you never know with basketball, but it will go through him first.
Yeah. And look, the Spurs are at least in their history, not like they ever not traded a fan favorite. George Hill got traded, and look what it turned out to be, Kawhi Leonard. And at least for a while, it was great. Bruce Bowen was traded to Milwaukee, I believe, another fan favorite. Mm-hmm. George Gervin was traded to the Chicago Bulls back in the day. And I get it, different regimes, different GMs, et cetera, but the point is that teams do this. Teams do trade away fan favorites. Sean Elliott was traded to the Pistons in an effort to make the team better by Nettie Robinson. I'm sorry, Rodman, excuse me. So if the Spurs would do it, I think they will, if it benefits. And it also benefits them financially too. I mean, that's a big chunk of change they don't have to worry about anymore. Does that count if they waive him? That doesn't count against their cap, right?
The Spurs are still entitled to paying him, are still entitled to, unless he is moved to another team, if he's bought out and the Spurs will, you know, that's still entitled to them. That money is still on their cap space, their book. But if he is flipped now, then that's going to be on whatever team he's moved to.
Yeah. So let's take a look at statistically now what the Spurs would be losing if the Spurs were to trade or waive Patty Mills. Going to B-Ball Index, he is considered one of the best, ranked in the top upper crust of the league in isolation turnover rate, meaning when that ball is in his hand and he's going one-on-one against a defender, more than likely that ball is going to stay in his hand. He's not going to turn over it, and he's going to get a bucket. So there is that. Mm-hmm. He's also great. Again, ranked, I believe, according to B-Ball Index, in the 85th percentile in the NBA. They give him a grade of an A in drive-out pass-out rate, meaning he drives, he's going to find the open guy for a good, clean shot. Just one more stat. I don't want to bog everybody down too much. B-Ball Index has a thing called gravity. Casey, I don't know if you're aware of it, but for those of you who are not, basically just how much does an individual player suck the defense in to create the spacing needed?
Really? That's an interesting stat.
Yeah. They actually call it gravity. And B-Ball Index then breaks it down even further by going 3-point gravity. And you can already see where I'm going now. They give him a grade of an A. He's ranked in the 94th percentile of the league in total 3-point percentage gravity. So he sucks that defense in so much. If he leaves, and we're arguing, looking at what's left on the roster, I don't see a player there that does that. You don't have that reliable 3-point shooter.
No,
you don't.
No, you so don't.
This person will lose.
I mean,
that.
the dude's not a bum.
Yeah,
you know, he's not a bum. I mean, he's a defensive liability. But like you said, when you have a guy who on the floor who can create spacing like that, that's value. Even if he's not putting up the numbers, but in this NBA right now, it goes beyond the numbers. In terms of setting up an offense, things like that, create space that works. And as you just alluded to, with all the stats I didn't even know existed, that kind of that kind of confirmed my sentiment to how the league kind of works with that. But it's true. I mean, it's true that he has value. It will affect the team on the floor, this current product, but largely, I don't think it's enough to prevent them from exploring options, you know?
Yeah, and look, I mean, I can go on and on what B-Ball Analytics brings up as far as the positives. Now, does he have the negatives? Of course. You know, you go to the defensive section of B-Ball Index, and, you know, his interior defense, rim deterrence, they grade him a C. Perimeter defense, he gets a D. So there is that.
Yeah.
But
yeah. But honestly, are you expecting it?
Exactly.
I mean, he's 6'1".
He's 6'1". Yeah. I mean, and he tries his best so much. You see him out there. He's trying so much. But as far as the intangibles go, we continue on and on. You know, his loose ball recovery rate percentage, 90%, that ranks him in the top 90% of the NBA, and they give him a grade of an A. So he's a hustler. We know that. He's going to go ball out. He's going to dive on the court. Even going for steals, they call something called pickpocketing rating. So, I mean, they're just trying to pick the pocket to create those.
They're very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Very precise.
they're very precise and largely not very creative, but it still makes sense.
Right.
Well, you know, like gravity actually kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Not overly creative, but it's not like baseball where they have like batting average on balls in play or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, even the pickpocket rating for Mills, they got him in the 63 percentile of the NBA with a grade of a B-. So he's not too bad there. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, there's pros and cons to Mills, and you know, the pros I think are valuable for the Spurs if they keep him, which I think they will. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll have to be their season will have to be such a great disaster next season that.
Right.
You know, they're not going to do it to Mills like that. Go get yourself a ring, whether it be in Miami or Milwaukee, wherever you got to go. But
yeah, but I think at the end of the day, man, I think that's what it'll come down to. I don't think he'll get moved in the offseason. I don't.
Yeah.
Because the idea of a team trying to create that money sometimes is juicier than the reality of it potentially happening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I put in there the hypothetical of him being flipped to the Mavericks of which you would get back Maxi Kleber, who's due $8.5 million for next year. So that's what they would free up. The Mavericks would another $8 million and change next year. The numbers added up to Maxi and Boban next year. Boban's off the books for 2021 and 2022 in Dallas anyways. So, but that would actually be fun to get him back in town. But I think the idea of that is of flipping that to get the money for the sake of another team's financials to free up cap space sometimes is juicier than the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality in my mind, I guess you can't really say that it's a reality, but the me prognosticating, hypothesizing, if you will, was that I don't think he's going to get moved before the season. I don't.
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen is the Spurs will be playing largely for nothing come the midpoint of the year, February, but not February. Who even knows what the midpoint of the year is anymore, but the midpoint of the season. And they're going to go to him. They're going to say, you know the deal. What do you want to do? Do you want to hang out here and mentor these kids, or do you want to chase a title somewhere because we see that there's interest for you in Dallas or Miami or somewhere like that, or Milwaukee, like you said. What do you want to do, man? And if he wants to go, he wants to chase him. What's reality? Again, why do I keep saying reality with the
– I think it's the stats. When I said roll, gravity, and pocketing, that got you in a different realm.
Yeah. But the idea, I guess, of – presenting that thought process, that opportunity potentially to Patty, if they can detect that that people, other teams have the idea of wanting to bring him on for whatever which reason, the numbers you said or the veteran stuff, and they'll leave it up to him. They're going to say, you can chase another title if you want, you can stay here and mentor these guys if you want, balls in your court, dude, what do you want to do?
And
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. My expectations I wrote was that I think Patty is enough to realize where he's smart enough to realize where he is in his career, and this might be his last crack. And he's done so many things for the community and for the team. I think he's probably going to realize that at a certain point he owes it to himself,
right,
to maybe make that last push at a title. But I can't, of course, I can't speak for Patty. I don't have a great Australian accent neither, but I think that they'll leave it up to him. I wrote that I think Patty will come to the realization that it is time to do something for himself, and he'll get bought out in February and he'll pursue a title somewhere else, and that'll probably be it. And that'll probably be the book on Patty Mills' career. In all likelihood, he'll have his jersey hanging in San Antonio one day.
I mean, how many times do you see it in sports where popular athletes that have been embedded with the cities for years, and when that team is having a horrible season, you hear the chant of free set X player, free this player. You're seeing it right now in Houston, the Texans with J.J. Watt.
I was having that exact conversation with somebody the other day.
You're seeing it with J.J. Watt right now. The Texans are just horrible, and the fans are there pretty much asking management to get Watt out of there to go get himself a better chance to get in a ring. And
I'm not saying better come calling for him.
Look,
I was going to say we got to hit up the Locked On Texans guys to get their thoughts on this. He would be perfect with the Seahawks. But anyways, go ahead.
Well, the thing is that it'll take something catastrophic like a season for just to bottom out. You know, they go, mm-hmm. Spurs don't do anything, and you know they're just so horrible. Where they usher, or at least they bring up the idea to Patty and about getting him out of town and going to chase a ring. But barring that, I think he's loyal to the franchise. I think that loyalty factor in his case is just too strong. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe you might hear a rumor here and there, you know, about him being packaged in a deal if the Spurs decide to sign and trade DeMar or trade LaMarcus Aldridge or at the draft day.
That's true. I mean, $13 million, like you said, $13 million, that could be packaged with something to bring something else back.
I mean, it's a nice, juicy expiring contract, and he has it. Mm-hmm. And a team looking to rebuild, Chicago, you know, do they want to clear some cap space, continue doing it too, you know? He's also a great veteran to add to a team that's right there that just needs a little push, whether it be to a deep playoff run or to the finals. Milwaukee, mm-hmm. you know, is one of them. Who else? You mentioned Dallas, you know, add another shooter to the thing. The Pelicans, the Philadelphia 76ers, they need mm-hmm. shooters. So he'll definitely fit in there. He'll find a place if the Spurs decide to move on from him.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think he plays out his final season. And I think the Spurs either then just let him go, try, you know, test the waters next offseason, or they do what they've done a lot of their veterans, you know, see if they can work something out, and hopefully, you know, see Patty Mills give some sort of hometown discount.
You think this season is the last we see of Patty Mills in San Antonio?
No, I think he stays. I think he returns. I think he.
No, hold on. I was asking this season as in this upcoming.
Like he plays out his
2021.
He plays
basically,
out his final
I'm asking. Yeah, basically, I'm asking if do you think there's a chance he'll be playing in 2021, 2022, and if it would be in San Antonio?
Oh man,
I don't know.
I'm 50-50. I think the Spurs, they're not going to break the bank on him. They're not going. He won't be what he got in the last contract. Yeah, they. And I think he. If he decides to stay, it's going to be one of those discounted contracts.
It'd be a minimum. It would be a minimum. The vet man. That's what it would be.
Yeah, it'd be the vet minimum. And but if he still feels he has some juice for a team and he doesn't think, you know, that the Spurs are there yet, and they're going to be there. They're not going to be close to even there for quite some time.
Mm-mm, no.
So does he take his talents elsewhere and chase that ring? I never think ring chaser and Patty Mills. I don't think.
No, but here's the thing though, dude. At a certain point, I don't think that's kind of paralleled as like an identity thing when you've had the success in your career like Patty Mills has had, because a ring chasing at this point for him, I often associate ring chasing with guys who have never won, mainly guys who have never won. And then as a result, they're just kind of hanging on to the coattails of things of these teams, you know, like Gary Payton back in the day was championship chasing with the Miami Heat. He had never won. I mean, Gary Payton has a largely incomparable career to 90% of point guards in the league. And the big thing was he had never won a title until Miami. That's not Patty Mills. You know, Patty Mills has won. This is, if he were to win another title here, I view it almost kind of like a lifetime achievement award, one final gift, you deserved it, your goodbye present. I kind of view it more towards more like that. You know what I mean? I don't see it like him. If he were to, if we're going to say championship chase, I don't associate it in a negative context. I don't. That's just me though.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. Our thoughts on Casey's article regarding Mills's future in San Antonio, whether it behooved the Spurs to pretty much see him go to allow the younger guys to get more minutes or to keep him around. It's up right now. Make sure to go to the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. When we get back, we're going to look at also to the future of the Spurs and what the roster could look like, courtesy of ESPN's Bobby Marks. We're back, and now we're going to shift gears and look at the Spurs free agents. And I'm joined by Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Casey_Vieira. So Casey, keeping in the theme of the future roster, what it could look like, ESPN's Bobby Marks recently put an article out there for all free agents this winter offseason and what they could command as far as salary. So of course the Spurs have four free agents. The big one is DeMar DeRozan. We all know that. But then there's Jakob Poeltl, Bryn Forbes, and Marco Bellinelli. Let's get rid of Forbes and Bellinelli first before we get to the two big names on this list. Bellinelli, right. According to Marks, Bellinelli could command a $2 to $4 million deal for any team looking to continue with him. Now, Bellinelli did say many times that his priorities to stay in the NBA. He didn't say stay with the Spurs. He just said stay in the NBA. And he also said he'd like to win one more title. So he definitely has titles on his mind. He mentioned this to an Italian outlet during the season. But start off with Bellinelli. I think all signs are pointing to, we've seen the last of him in Spurs colors.
Yeah, we'll go with that. I don't know last in the NBA, but in last of the Spurs, yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and move on. Bryn Forbes, interesting guy who I know a lot of Spurs fans, maybe you and a lot of talking heads out there think this is it for Forbes, but I can actually see him sticking around if the Spurs opt to. Marks, he has him, commanding a $4 to $6 million salary, depending on where he lands. He's been very quiet about his future in San Antonio. He has been vocal like Bellinelli or DeMar or Jakob. We'll touch on them in a few seconds. But he provides the team an outside threat. We all know that. He, at one season, was forced to run the point guard position because of the injury to DeJounte Murray. So there's that. I mean, he has that experience. But then, you know, it's the idea that the team has too many guards. Casey, am I crazy thinking that I can actually see at the end of the day Forbes sticking around in San Antonio with some sort of restructured, maybe cap-friendly deal? I can see him sticking around.
No, you're not crazy thinking that. You're not, because I was thinking that the other day. There's so much of Spurs fans that grew so much disdain for Bryn Forbes this season, largely because he's a volume shooter. And he struggles defensively. And right. When he struggles, he really struggles. he really struggles. But Pop, for a good portion of the season, we'll even call it two-thirds of the season, he seemed really loyal to Forbes.
Right.
And that's what's kind of like what tells you, well, maybe they would. Maybe they would bring him back. I don't know how much burn he would get every single night, but I think it's at the point where it was there enough to provide the conversation, I think, right?
I I just have this idea. You know, when I think of Forbes, you know who I think of? Maybe not to the same caliber, but Mike Finley. Remember Mike Finley?
But I think he was better than. Well, you're talking about the idea.
The idea of keeping loyalty, a veteran, the like loyalty, the Pau Gasol. You know, keeping him around. I hope they don't give him a Pau Gasol like deal, but nevertheless.
Oh my goodness! If any team gives Bryn Forbes a Pau Gasol like deal,
he's a shooter, and that's a commodity in today's league. They value 3-point shooting, that's where thing. He does. Yeah, again, going to B-ball index. I mean, I don't really have to dive into these numbers. It's pretty much obvious, but 3-point percentage, they give him a B+, ranking in the 80 percentile of the league. Pull up 3-point percentage, just him just pulling up at the three, A-, 83 percentile in the league. And then there's a catch and shoot 3-point percentage, B. He ranks in the 67th percentile of the NBA. He is a shooter, and he brings that. And if you talk about that gravity that I was talking about with Patty Mills sucking in the defense from the three-point line, boy, does Bryn do that. They give him an A. He ranks in the 95th percentile, better than Bryn Forbes. But that's about it, though. I mean, I can't even look at isolation. It's so bad, B-ball Index doesn't even give him a grade. They just leave it blank. One-on-one, his one-on-one value, they give
him down
great,
softly, Jeff. Jeez.
Well, trust me. Maybe I'll screenshot what they use to describe Bryn Forbes' one-on-one play. Isolation play, if he has to go one-on-one with somebody, they grade him an F. So with Mills, you can
isolate defensively? Or?
Oh, no, him offensively, like going one-on-one with somebody.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a spot-up shooter, so I mean, I guess that's kind of right.
Yeah. But if I want to go to the defensive end, well, I mean, it's just Fs across the board. His offensive rebounding value is graded at an F. His putback, just getting those offensive rebounds for putback scores, an F.
Expect that, though.
Yeah, yeah. You're looking at perimeter defense. I mean, do I even go there? Yeah, it's bad. The perimeter defense category, according to B-ball index, the one thing that he does do well on the perimeter, on the defensive end, that is again, that pickpocket rating, basically, at least he's attempting. He's trying to get the steals. He's going for it. They give him an A-, and they put him in the 85th percentile of the NBA. Now, to get a little bit more technical about it, basically what they describe or define pickpocket rating is an estimate of how active a defender is on ball with steals. And they kind of calculate with loose ball steals per 75 possessions. He's actually pretty good at that. But that's pretty much where it stops there. Everything else gets either graded a D or an F. So with Mills, and we all know he's – you know, sketchy on the defensive end. At least there's positive attributes to that. There's something there.
I mean, there's large. The two are largely the same player.
Right.
Largely, they really are. Except the expectation for Patty, I guess, is probably not as high because he's a veteran. He's been around, and the criticism's not as high is because he's a veteran and he's been around and he's won, but the two are largely the same player.
Yeah. So just to hasten this portion of the segment up, keeping or staying, the Spurs, we've seen the last of Forbes in a uniform. I know, man, it's tough with this guy. I see them bringing him back.
It's crazy. Cause you don't think like,
but he's going to have to understand that he's going to be losing minutes. He has to understand that.
Yeah.
Those minutes are not going to be there for him. So I think that may push him to be like, you know what, I'll go somewhere
else. Right. Well, that's the other side of the spectrum too. I mean, the Spurs wanting to bring him back, he might not want to come back either. You know, he's not married to the Spurs over here. I don't think he comes back.
Okay.
Next year. I do not.
All right. This is going to continue now. Now we get to the heart of the matter, and that is Poeltl and DeRozan. All right, and now there's Jakob Poeltl. Restricted free agent. He's made it clear before the bubble, during the bubble, and after the bubble that he's looking for a larger role, that he wants more minute, and he wants to get paid his value. Now, Casey, he has softened that stance since the bubble ended. Now he's saying that he's comfortable in San Antonio, who would like to stay in San Antonio. And he said recently to Austrian outlets that, quote, the decision about it, his future in San Antonio, lies more with the Spurs than me. So Jakob Poeltl, at least according to ESPN Marks, could command a salary of $8 to $10 million. Buddy, you nailed it right on the head.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, a normal year, a normal off season, 12 to 14, somewhere around there, but it's not going to be a normal off season. So that 8 to 10, it sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, as much as he is a fan favorite, there are pros, but the man, there's sometimes I think there's a lot more cons than pros when it comes to Jakob Poeltl. I recently did a Locked On Spurs with ESPN San Antonio's James Pledger, and we were curious. We were talking about Poeltl, and we said, like, he says, you know, he goes, pull up the stats. Use B-ball in it. Pull up the stats for Poeltl compared to Eubanks. Casey, pound for pound, it was almost identical. It was almost identical. I mean,
it's a conversation with him. Yes. You and I, we did half a segment alone.
Yeah.
Like, who'd have thought? Who'd have thought? Jakob Poeltl and what?
Eubanks, yeah.
But it is a conversation, yeah.
Yeah. So, again, you know, he's still in limbo. I think the Spurs are going to wait to see the domino to fall, that being DeMar DeRozan first, and where they're going to go with Poeltl, especially with the market's going to ask for him if somebody does come after him and want to snatch him up and put him on the roster. At the end of the day, do the Spurs give him that projected salary, or they tell him, you know, good luck and we'll see you down the road?
They give him the qualifying offer.
Okay.
They give him the $5 million qualifying offer. After that, I don't know.
Well, he's not going to like that. I can tell you that much already.
Well, it's not about him liking it.
Well, no. I mean, he can scoff at it if he's maybe I want to try it out and see, you know, get his agent on the phone, call these other teams, you know.
Right. Spurs give him the qualifying offer. This is tough, man. We had this conversation a week ago. I'm still not sure. I think he's back next year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's back next season. Yeah, and I think that 8 to 10 is not too bad.
No. And either way, I don't think they offer him more than a 3-year deal, and I think that's probably stretching it.
All right, now it comes to the main event, and that is DeMar DeRozan. We all know that he has a $27.7 million player option for next season. But if the Spurs do want to re-up him or maybe extend him, this is what it could project to be, according to Marks. $22 to $24 million starting salary for DeMar DeRozan. Now, of course, there is a possibility the Spurs could facilitate a sign and trade. DeMar DeRozan not pick up his option, or he simply plays out one more season in San Antonio. Casey, he did scoff at a recent report of unhappiness in San Antonio. And the only time that he's spoken about his contract situation has been pre-bubble and after bubble. And all he said, he doesn't think about it. So he's been very quiet as well. Do the Spurs, do they extend him in this situation?
And they don't extend him.
Okay.
They don't extend him. I don't think he's a Spur pass. I don't think he's a Spur pass 2020, 2021, if he's even a Spur next year.
Yeah, there's
Go ahead.
No, I'll say there's smoke. There could be a situation of smoke and fire. There's been three separate individual reports from three separate individual outlets saying that he is unhappy in San Antonio. And of the three, twice that he's shot those things down. I think this is a situation where it's that GIF of the little puppy in a room with a fire around him. And he's saying, this is fine. You know, I think that's what's going on here. There's a lot of smoke and a lot of fire.
You're not going to expect him to say otherwise. You're not going to expect him to say otherwise. And so to stay on the team, the theme of smoke and where there's smoke, there's fire. I'm a firm believer in that. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in that. That more often than not, when that's the case, there's some element of truth to it. And when you really look at it, though, what's the perk of him staying? For his sake, what's the perk of him staying? There really is none.
Yeah,
the Spurs aren't really, you know what I mean? There really is long-term.
Only perk is that if for some reason, financially, it makes sense. But Outside of that, no, I don't think. Yeah. I mean,
The financial stability. But then though, you look at it, that's when the sign and trade could come into play.
Yeah, exactly.
Then they move him.
For my goodness, I know his agent or anything like that. I know very few agents, Casey, in my time here. Unfortunately, none of them were connected to DeMar DeRozan.
Right.
I think it's either going to play out in two ways, sign and trade, or he just plays it out one more season, gets paid, and then takes his talents elsewhere. And to be part of that big talent pool next season, or he take advantage of it now. I mean, he could be the biggest fish right now.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, he could.
Yeah.
He could. I agree with that entirely.
Yeah.
I agree with that entirely. Yeah.
My opinion, I think we see a half or a full season, and then that's it with DeMar. And the half, I'm saying sign and trade, full season, meaning he just plays it out and then calls it a day.
We're both in the agreeance. If he does come back, this is his last season in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think it is. Okay. Also, the point, I don't think at this stage of his career he wants to be part of a rebuild program.
Well, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, after next season, it definitely doesn't make sense.
No,
it really doesn't make sense.
And then does he really want to be around with a team that could possibly not have Mills, LMA, Rudy Gay, and just be a bunch of young kids, and he's the lone vet on there? No. Who knows what's going to happen with Popovich? Is this Pop's last season too? I mean, that'd be, and then you're talking about rebuild. That's a complete rebuild of this Spurs franchise if Pop leaves or retires, excuse me. So no,
Go ahead.
I just think at the end of the day, I don't see him staying beyond next season.
Yeah. And you know what, man, I've really warmed up to the idea of him in Atlanta. They're not title contenders right away, but I think that there's benefit. I mean, that's a team on the, I know they struggled this year, but I think that's a team on the upswing.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And I do think that's a team on the upswing. And I think there is potential, there is value there, and they're a little bit more fast tracked for a few reasons, comparatively speaking to the Spurs, Trae Young being the main reason why. I've warmed up to that idea a little bit, but the thing that's tough with the sign and trade is the fact that unless he's committed towards signing that extension right away with the team, you're not going to get a huge trade value back for him. But then again, on the other side of the spectrum, if he opts out, you're not getting any trade value, period.
Yeah, he could be a rental for a team.
Right, yeah. Right. And that's going to be a big thing with DeMar, is the fact that whether or not if they do a sign and trade, he's ready to commit to that extension right off the bat. And you're not going to find that with a lot of places. That's what's tough with it.
And that's my biggest thing right now with the DeMar DeRozan situation is, A, one of it's not his fault because the NBA keeps pushing back that deadline. We don't know. It went from a hard date of the October 17th, a hard date of October 20th. Now it's turned into, we don't know. So I think that's through no fault of his own, but I would love to find out that there's communication going on at least where they're getting an idea, because it could jam up their future, whether it be at the draft. Maybe they have to draft a guy in the mold of DeRozan, or they don't have to, or they can use that money to chase a free agent right now. Once that time is allowed, the teams can go do all that stuff. So, I'm with you. I think possibly the last season of DeMar DeRozan. I think so.
I think more so the question here is whether he's not back next season. I think everyone's pretty much in a universal agreement that this is, if he is back, that's his last one.
Yeah.
In San Antonio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But who knows? We'll see what happens. We've seen this scenario play out many times. The most recent one is obviously Kawhi Leonard. No. What are you talking about? I want to be a Spur for life. I remember that conference call. I want to be a Spur. I want to retire a Spur. And then, well, we know what happened. And even a step further, Pau Gasol there. I don't know if you remember, Casey, but there was a report out of Spain during Gasol's final season. Same situation. He's unhappy in San Antonio. He wants to be waived. He wants to leave San Antonio. A couple days later, they ask him at the practice facility, hey, there's this report coming out, you know, deny. What happens? He gets waived.
I think that's basketball as a whole, though.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's basketball as a whole.
Exactly.
Going back to the original question, though, you think he's back next year in San Antonio?
Who?
DeMar.
Oh, DeMar. No, oh, I'm sorry. No. I was going to say, what? Meaning 2021, not 21-22.
This immediate season.
This immediate season. Okay. Sorry. This freaking NBA season threw me off.
Who even knows anymore?
Yeah. Back. Yeah, I think he's back.
I agree.
Yeah, I think he's back.
I think I like that idea in Atlanta, but I don't know. I don't think it's that financial number is so tough. Mm-hmm. That's so tough to figure out.
It really is.
Because like I said, I do like the idea of him at Atlanta, the idea of DeMar at Atlanta, but with a sign and trade, he's not – You're not a team would be insane to give a first, especially a lottery pick, mm-hmm. without that commitment of knowing that he's going to stay put for multiple years. Or, yeah, I mean, you never know. A team might do it. A team might see the value. But
we saw the Raptors do it. I mean, I get it. You know, Kawhi Leonard and DeMar DeRozan, Raptors, are different levels.
The Raptors were never. Yeah, but the thing with the Raptors though, the Raptors were. Even before Kawhi, that was a team that the year before was in the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Kawhi, even at worst, if you called Kawhi and DeMar a wash, that's not a lottery pick. Mm-mm. I mean, if a team, I don't know, I'd have to sit down and think about it a little bit more, but if a team were to offer a team more closer to competing were to offer a first, I could see it. But a team that's bad right now that has immediate cap to offer, which is largely the case with these guys, whether it be Detroit, whether it be the Knicks, I don't think it's going to be the Knicks anymore because they sounded like they're committed to playing around RJ Barrett, and RJ plays very similar to DeMar in terms of a mid-range game, doesn't necessarily extend the floor. So I don't think he fits in New York anymore. So mainly the immediacy, Detroit or Atlanta, both teams in the lottery.
I see Detroit more than of all teams, just because of that Casey connection that he had in Toronto. True. I think that would be the biggest draw for him there. And then I can see him giving Detroit a good extension. I'm going to say a great one because Detroit's insane. You think the Spurs are bad, go see Detroit. You know, they're just as bad too.
Yeah. They have the money, Detroit. But do you think a team would offer? I think a team would be insane to offer. A team would offer a lottery first.
Yeah, no, a lottery first, no. Sign?
I don't think so neither. And that's why I think he's going to stay put.
Yeah,
I do. And then he'll take another crack at free agency when he can earn more annually than 22. What was the number Bobby said? 22 to 24?
22-24, yes.
Yeah, I think he picks up that 27 this year and then goes into next off season with a better chance when the economy, God willing, is slowly coming back on the upswing that I think he goes after that number again. And well, the thing, the two with that staying put and then going into it again is that I always mention that the fact that there's plenty of teams that strike out on mm-hmm. big names, like we were saying, and as a result, they have to overpay the guys who are not necessarily top 10 to 15 players, but they still get paid top 10 to 15 player money in the league because they use that as leverage. So for him, that's probably smarter to stay put too. Of course, the big thing though is you're jeopardizing your health for mm-hmm. one more year. And you don't know on that front. You never, you know, want to gamble with that. When you can earn the money fully. But my gut is he's back in San Antonio next season for one more year.
All right, there you have it. There are our thoughts on the Spurs for free agents and whether or not they will stay or go. And the numbers, money makes sense. Also, our thoughts on Patty Mills staying in San Antonio or not, but simply because if it's going to help boost this youth movement. Of course, you can read Casey's article, which is live right now at the Spurs Zone. Speaking of the Spurs Zone, News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Everything you need for your Spurs fix in this offseason, it's all right there. Make sure to go visit that. Subscribe to Lockdown Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast. And follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. And for Casey, you can follow him on Twitter at Casey_Vieira. So for Casey Vieira, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.